linguistic kind of uniqueness of
Okay. All right, I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Planning Commission and the Board of Architectural Review, our public hearing for July 25th, 2013. We will start with the call to order and the attendance.
Here.
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 Okay, thank you. As the Board of Architectural Review, tonight we'll have a hearing, case number L13-018, and it is the Golden Property Development, and we will turn it over to staff at this time.
Good evening. Stacey McGregor, Assistant Planner with Department of Community Development. Am I recording? Okay. I'd like to open hearing L13-018 with appearance of fairness questions. I'm going to ask one question, ask you all to answer, then go on to the next question. So starting on my left with Commissioner Mann, do you or your family have any interest in the subject property?
Do not.
Commissioner Hunter?
No.
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 Thank you. Do you stand to gain or lose by your decision on this matter?
No.
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 Thank you. Have you had any ex parte communications about this application?
No.
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 Does anyone here object to any commissioner hearing this matter? Hearing no objections, I'd like to proceed with the staff report. So Buffalo Wild Wings is proposing to go in at 225 Tukwila Parkway, which is what most of us may think of as the old Bank of America at South Center Mall. It's an 8,451 square foot restaurant, including an enclosed patio. The bank building is scheduled for demolition, with the new Buffalo Wild Wings to be built on it over the existing foundation. The basement from the bank building, in my understanding, will remain. Design review is for the building only. In 2010, the site was redesigned following the demolition of the Bank of America drive-through. If you may remember, Bank of America moved to the south side of the mall, and that parcel was incorporated into the entire mall binding site plan. And in 2010, they demoed the drive-through and restriped and landscaped the parking lot. When it was restriped, the parking lot was brought up to code with stall striping and drive aisle widths and landscape islands. And the design of that parking lot was greatly influenced to preserve the existing mature trees around the site perimeter. Ped paths were created along the internal drive aisle that leads from Andover Park West towards Seafood City and from the former bank building to the south towards the Seafood City parking area. Because that site work in 2010 was not subject to design review, it was just a parking lot redesign, and it was designed to code. It wasn't touched in this design review, and they're not proposing any changes to the landscaping or parking on that site. So the location here is shown in purple in the corner of the South Center Mall. So South Center Mall, the mall campus is bound on the north by Tukwila Parkway, on the west by South Center Parkway, on the east by Andover Park West, on the south by Strander Boulevard. I'm kind of just going to go through what you see if you're standing at the location. Mount Rainier is to the south, southeast. Seafood City, the former Mervyn's, is due south of the former bank building and this new proposal. Macy's is to the west. And looking to the east is Acme Bowl and the iFly buildings. Tuckwell Parkway is to the northwest. And this is some views of the current bank building. This is from the northeast, the southeast, and we're going to go on to the landscaping and the site treatment. The significant things to note that, aside from just meeting code that were designed into this landscape, is there is a pedestrian path connecting from Andover Park West here along this entire section of this internal drive aisle to the mall. There's a crosswalk here, a striped crosswalk, and that continues across the south to the Seafood City parking lot, as well as part of the redesign, they're restriping it to the north to the building, and a sidewalk is created all the way around the building. The new building is a combination of ephes, metal, and brick. It has varying roof and wall planes. It's actually, it gives a similar feel in articulation and modulation as to the Mervyn's building, as far as how the varying wall planes and roof planes. As part of going through the design review process, the applicant eliminated some areas of this yellow metal color. It dominated this facade of the building, and that was reduced in color to meet the design review criteria of bright colors being used as accents only. And they increased the sill plates on the windows and the setbacks of the windows to increase the sense of depth and modulation to the building, as well as added, they had proposed a faux brick, and they put real brick on the building. These are the colors and materials that have been proposed. This display is showing the fake brick that's now real. Of note on this building, there were a number of design features that were incorporated in order specifically to get incentive signage on the building. Under our current sign code, a building gets a sign on a wall that has an exterior public entrance, which in this building is only the north facade. They proposed a sign on each of the four facades. And so in order to achieve that, they had to meet some certain design standards that are called out in the design code, in the sign code. What they did, the west facade has a patio, and that's enclosed in glass, and that met the requirements for transparency, which makes the west facade eligible for signage. The south facade, shown here, this bottom smaller picture, felt strongly that the building looks significantly better with a sign on the south facade. It looks kind of under-decorated and like the back of a building without a sign. And this sign is facing South Center Mall, so it seemed very reasonable to want to have signage on this facade for customers leaving the mall and heading towards the building. So in order to have this signage as allowed under the code, what the architects did is they added what's called spandrel glass, which is this big section of window beneath the signage. It's not real, and this photo shows its application on another Buffalo Wild Wing. So this isn't a photo of our building, obviously, because it hasn't been built yet. But you can see that the glass is not transparent. You're not looking into the building, but you're seeing a reflection of the outside. It's because the glass isn't transparent. It's not going anywhere. But it gives the appearance that there is the ability to see. And because of the operations at the internal, it's the back of house, it's their storage area, they can't put windows in this part. They also added some trellises with some evergreen vines around the base of the building. And that combination adds enough to the facade that would qualify for the incentive signage. The signage that is shown is not necessarily what we'll end up with. We don't review the size of signs at design review. That'll be done when the final building comes in. And on the east side of the building, They changed some of the exterior features. Like I said, they reduced the size of the yellow section, and then this center section that's dark gray was this light gray color at first, and they changed it to a dark gray ephus, which adds a little more architectural interest to the building. They also added the trellises with the evergreen vines, and they increased the length of this canopy, which creates a covered walkway over the sidewalk that actually happens to end right about where the accessible handicap stalls are. So it provides a covered entrance to the front of the building. There's a bike rack for 5 bikes, which is required in code. And the details for how these trellises and planters will work were not provided as part of design review. So what I'd like to ask is, as a condition, that at the building permit stage we review the details so that we can make sure that they can work and support this plant, as well as not impact the functions of the sidewalk. There's 2 comprehensive plan policies that apply to this project. The first one is our commercial areas goal, and it does meet that. Commercial areas primarily are looking at the site design, which was already met through landscaping and sidewalks. And then the urban center goal, which is also met through the design of this building. So staff's recommendation is to approve this project with conditions. I'm going to read this condition for the record: that trellises and planters are included on the south and east sides that need to be added to the site development plans and reviewed for approval. The proposed vine, Clematis vesticiflora, will need to be ordered well in advance of installation to ensure it is available to plant in time for the planting final. And that's because this is not a plant that's commonly available at nurseries at this time. I'd like to address any comments and then invite the architects up to discuss their project further.
Any comments for Stacy? I have one question, though, on order. I forgot to swear people in. Should I do that first before we go any farther, or wait till the public wants to give comment? Who knows the answer to that? Would that be?
I think we probably ought to do it now.
Okay. All right. So for those that are wishing to testify at tonight's public hearing, there was a sign-up sheet at the back by the door, and hopefully you have written your name down on that if you wish to speak. And so for those that are wishing to speak at the public hearing, I would ask that you at this time raise your right hand. And do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony that you will give this evening? And if so, answer yes.
Yes.
And for the record, I do and have.
Okay. Thank you, Stacy. Okay. Did you have a comment, Commissioner Mann?
So, Stacy, on page 8 of 9 of the memorandum that you sent us, at the very top, it says that the restaurant is also a sports bar with primary focus on sports entertainment. Is that just television, or do we have pool tables? What kind of entertainment is involved here?
I have seen pictures from the inside of the restaurant, and there's a lot of television, but I'm going to direct that to the applicant to answer your question.
Okay. And then... So are we going to wait until he comes up and does it all?
Okay. Yes,
so
that's okay.
So then I did have a question for you. When we talk about incentives so that people can get more signage, is that kind of just a judgment call, or is there some sort of guidelines for that? How does that work?
There's criteria in the sign code for incentive signage. So... The result, if a building qualifies for incentive signage, is 50% of signage relative to what it would be if it had an exterior public entrance.
Tell me again. I'm sorry.
50%. So you get 50% of what would be allowed had there been an exterior public entrance.
I see.
So the incentive signage, if qualified, is going to be smaller to begin with. And then I think there's five criteria to qualify for incentive signage. It involves a mix of architectural detailing, and I don't have that code right in front of me, so I'm going to go off of what's in my head. But okay. I think it's something like 70% glazing between 3 and 7 feet for the majority of the wall face, architectural interest and features with not a lot of specifics of what that might look like, trellises, possibly pedestrian coverage. Some of it's more prescriptive and some of it's a little subjective.
Okay. And then I did have one other comment, and I don't know if you want to wait until the applicant comes up, but on the south elevation,
mm-hmm.
are we looking at the service door, the black door, and then this other door by the trellis?
Yeah, that's the employee door from the kitchen.
So when I come out of the mall and I look at that building, that's what I'm going to be looking at is a service door and an employee door?
The way the building is oriented on the site, it is facing the public street as opposed to facing the mall. And that is something that is called out in the new urban center plan, I believe, for ideal orientation of buildings. You know, the buildings face the street. And they did orient in this direction. And, yeah, you are going to see the service door if you came out of the Seafood City towards the mall.
So it's been my experience in going out the backside of a restaurant or whatever that the service door is also not always kept very well and, you know, tends to be dirty, not attractive looking. I'm wondering if there shouldn't be some sort of screening so when you come out of the mall, you don't see the backside of a restaurant that – you know, has, you know, you have greasy hands opening and closing doors and, you know, people using their feet to close the door. Generally, that isn't an attractive side of a restaurant. And so we have traffic going through that side there and then people coming out of the mall looking at the backside of a restaurant. I think it's unappealing. I think something, some kind of screen or something should happen.
Let's ask the applicant, because I'm not entirely certain if the floor plan includes direct access to the trash collection area or if staff has to go through that service door along the sidewalk and then into the trash collection area, because that may impact its use, and as far as what you're trying to avoid might already be avoided by design if there's access from the interior of the restaurant directly into the trash collection area. It's something that you all can deliberate on and certainly discuss. I think an impact that I would want you to be aware of is there's a sidewalk there, and that if you were to create some sort of screen, and it would seem the logical screen would be to extend the trash collection area around one of those doors, perhaps not both of those doors, because that would hide that spandrel glass. Would that impact the functionality of the sidewalk?
Okay, so then if I look at the east elevation, that black area, what is that?
That's the trash collection area on the south end or the left side.
Oh, I see.
So on the south elevation, the section with the lowest roof line is also the section on the east elevation that you see in black, and that is the enclosure for trash.
If I may add, if you look at the site plan, you can see it a little bit better. It might make a little more sense to you. You can see that it's an enclosure there, if that helps at all.
I thought that that's what that was, but I was just wondering if there wasn't any way to reorientate that door. I mean, I'd like to challenge anybody to show me the back door of a restaurant that looks appealing. Oh, I'm sorry. So, that's all I have.
So maybe we can actually ask the architect what exactly the traffic flow will be into that area, and that'll help clarify the issue. I have a little question about the clematis. The fasciculflora is beautiful vine. It's one of my favorites. You don't find it very easily, so you're really excited when you do. I have lost like two of them in a row in consecutive years through the winter. So I would just say that having something in mind as a replacement, if need be, and something guaranteed that if it does not make it through all of the winters, that it will be, you know, replaced with an adequately sized vine, appropriately sized vine.
So if you would like to amend the condition with a recommendation of what that would be, that
like
would...
Like a specific species?
That would really help.
I don't know if they have, like, a landscape designer who would have his or her own opinion. I could try and think of some species on the fly.
I believe it was the architect did some research and found some great articles in the Seattle Times that came up with this vine. As a recommended vine. So,
and I think it's a great choice. And I'm not saying let's change it at all. I do. I'm just saying that it doesn't always make it for the winter as well. And
what I'm saying.
At some point it might need to be replaced.
So if you have a recommendation, that would be great. Or it would be subject, of course, to meeting code enforcement and staying alive. So if it died, it would have to be replaced. And that would be something at the administrative level that we would approve. Something else. So if you don't have a recommendation.
So you're saying there's already something in place that'll ensure that if it does not survive, it will definitely be replaced.
Yes. Code requires that, yes.
Okay. And does it require it at an appropriate size?
Yes. Yeah. We're obviously not going to replace a mature vine with a mature vine. It's going to be new. And younger and smaller. But what that vine is, we would review it.
Okay.
In-house at staff level.
Okay. This is Commissioner McLeod. Could you clarify what it was you just said there about code requires it regarding the, I mean, once you sign off on this project and give it a final, if a plant dies, there's no enforcement as that they need to replace it, is there?
Yes.
There is.
Code requires that your landscaping that is approved has to be maintained through the life of the project.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're not allowed to let your plants die.
So if they die, we would say something as a city and say that they need to fix that. That's something we're looking around and checking on?
At times, yes. We're certainly not devoting our code enforcement resources to running around the city and pointing out dead plants. But when that's brought to our attention or when we notice it, then, yeah, we ask them to be replaced.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Maya says, what is the minimum signage required? And it looks like you mentioned this exceeds it. Is that correct?
There's no minimum signage required.
Okay. So is there any signage requirements for this project?
No. No project is required to sign.
Okay.
That's not a requirement, and I can't think of any project that ever's not wanted to sign.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Then I think we'd be ready to open it up for public comment.
Okay.
We may come back with more questions, but I think we're ready for that.
Thank you.
So as you come up and speak, if you'll give your name and address, please.
Good evening. My name is Jared Taylor, Golden Property Development, 10 South Grant Street, Roseville, California.
Good evening. My name is Jonathan Yeager, MBH Architects, 2470 Mariner Square Loop, Alameda, California.
So, you know, we just want to thank you for hearing us this evening. We've been working with staff. It's been extremely helpful, and we're really looking forward to becoming a part of the business community here. If you like, we could kind of discuss or respond to the items that were just discussed. Would you like us to start with that? Or, yeah.
Did you have something else like an opening or summary that you wanted to share, or
sure.
just right into detail?
Yeah, I mean, we can absolutely do that. You know, what we're looking to do here is basically redevelop this existing previous bank building. We're trying to come in and help revitalize the mall. I'd like to state that we also have Westfield here in representation and support of our proposed development as well. You know, we put a lot of time into this project and really trying to go through the requirements of the city of Tukwila and the design requirements and trying to make this building fit into what we understand the city of Tukwila is seeking. That's been a big priority for us. And like I said, staff's been extremely helpful to help us make that happen. And that's what we're here to present to you this evening.
Okay. You want to, do you have a question?
I do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Stacy, you mentioned a patio that was enclosed. Does this patio, does it open, like nice weather? Can you open it up? And you say yes, you say no.
Yes, the if you're looking at the west elevation right now, all of those lower, the more horizontal windows are actually operable and slide up. So that whole facade can open up for nice weather.
Open up completely?
The windows slide up vertically.
Okay.
So between the brick and the upper window is all open.
Okay.
So which side of the restaurant is that on? Is that the Andover Park West side or the Macy's side?
Macy's. The Macy's.
So you look out and see Macy's. Okay.
So if you like, we can just kind of respond to the few items that were previously discussed. We'll just have a little more info for you on those. I'll start with, in the beginning, we discussed with Commissioner Mann that Buffalo Wild Wings is primarily, I'd like to say, it's a family restaurant and sports restaurant. What makes it a sports restaurant is, yes, we do have TVs in there, but there are no pool tables. There is going to be no live music. There's no dancing or anything like that. The only type of entertainment that we have is there's going to be three arcade-style video game machines and then one other kind of a more modern video game machine, which is really like a – think of like iPads. They're not iPads, but they look like iPads, which are dispensed from what is that has the footprint of an arcade game machine. So you can take these iPads to your table and play games on them. Like, it's really for children. So when the family's there – you know, everybody's hanging out, eating, having a good time. Maybe, you know, the adults are watching a game on TV, and the kid can play Mrs. Pac-Man, or there's a variety of different games you can play on these machines. But that's really the only entertainment. It's the TVs and the video game machines, and there's not many video game machines.
So is it much like when you go into Red Robin, there's three or four machines there that kids can play?
Exactly.
Maybe something like
yeah.
that. Okay.
Yeah.
When it said sports entertainment, it was like, okay, what is that, darts, pool tables?
No.
Okay.
It's not like that. I mean, the only other thing I think that we do have is there'll be like trivia and stuff on some of the TVs to where if you are sitting, you can play along kind of thing, but that would be it.
Okay.
From there, I'd like to talk about the service door that was pointed out on the south elevation. And so that service door, the reason that we have that there is that's a door for ingress. That's for deliveries to come into the back of the house, into the restaurant. We do also have the refuse area. And if you look at page DR-01, it should be the first page in your packet. You can see the refuse area there. And you can see that there's a door that leads from out of the restaurant, out of the kitchen, into the refuse area. So that's where the trash is going to come out. Anything that's dirty coming out of the restaurant, it's going to come out that direction. If there's a door that employees are going to be going in and out of, it's that door. The service door that's on the south elevation, that's only for clean food coming in. We don't want the deliveries, the clean food, to come in through the refuse area. It's not sanitary. It's messy. It's just too much in the way. It doesn't work operationally well to do that. Health doesn't really like that either, the health department. So the door that's facing the south, that's on the south elevation, facing down towards the mall, we're going to actually not allow employees to go in and out of that. That's typical operation. That's just for deliveries to come in, which is going to be early in the mornings. Otherwise, we do not want our employees going out there. We do not want to have, you know, that elevation seen with employees coming in and out. That's not our intention whatsoever.
So are you talking about the gray door as the service door? So it looks like there's two doors there, one to the left of the trellis, which looks like a gray door, and then there's a very black door, which looks like it's in the refuge area. So which door is the employee entrance in?
So the black door that you're seeing there would be the door that leads directly in and out of the trash enclosure. That would really be for service, things like that. And that being painted black, you're not going to see dirt showing up on it, as you were describing before. The gray door is going to be the door that leads directly into the kitchen. So that's our clean door. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay. That will not be necessarily used for, you know, the employees constantly coming in and out of. Mm-hmm. So those gray doors will remain much cleaner, given that they're used for deliveries in and out of a clean area inside the restaurant.
So the gray door is where you receive deliveries?
Yes.
Okay. So, and on the food product that you will be serving at the restaurant, will there be a lot of deep frying and disposal of oils, used oils?
Yes. The oils are fed directly into a grease recycling tank, which is then a truck pulls up and connects directly to it. Mm-hmm. So there's no, people aren't wheeling bins of grease around, slopping used oils all over the place.
So is that tank inside that refuge area?
It is, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Commissioner McLeod. So the entry to this facility is really from the mall section. You can't get to this parking lot from the Tukwila Parkway or Andover Park West. Is that correct?
Yeah, not directly. There's the drive aisle just to the south off of Andover Park West that parallels the site, and then also to the west that runs north-south from Tukwila Parkway towards Seafood City.
Yeah, but you kind of have to go on that driving lane between Buffalo Wings and Seafood City to get into the parking lot here. Is that right?
Yeah, there used to be an exit from the mall onto Tukwila Parkway, and that was closed when they redid the site.
Okay. And that's consistent with the other restaurants around the whole mall, isn't it, on the south side? There's a couple others down that way, and they don't have direct access to the main arterial there either, do they?
No, the only thing I can think of that's remotely direct is to the post office.
Okay. My next question is regarding parking. So you're not adding any new stalls to this facility. Just what's there is already there.
Correct.
So then my question is for you, Stacy. You had shared with us, and I appreciate you doing that in the future there are two additional restaurants that are proposed north of the site. What will that do to the parking when there's this place and two others?
So the way it was, there's kind of a timing issue. Buffalo Wild Wings came in first with a complete application, so they got vested first, and the parking that's available on the site meets the needs for the operations of the mall with the addition of Buffalo Wild Wings. The two new restaurants, hopefully you will hear them next month, which is a Red Lobster and a Seasons 52, and they're going on new pad sites to the north of Macy's, just to the west of the Buffalo Wild Wings. And the addition of Seasons 52 and Red Lobster will create a parking deficit. So in order for that project to move forward, the mall knows, and mall operations are here, so it's great to have them hear this, but they need to come up with a parking plan that shows how they're going to meet that parking deficit in order to get approval and get those two buildings built. But it's not affecting Buffalo Wild Wings.
So not really an issue for tonight?
Not for tonight.
Okay. And one last question that I had on the the bike racks. So I see that there were a spot for 5 bikes, and that's then, what is that code? Is that how we come up with that number, 5 bike racks?
Yeah, it's more than code requires.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Mastis?
One question. The pedestrian connection heading south out of the building to the sidewalk and public street, and I'm not sure who would answer this, but that connection, is it possible to walk either on a pedestrian connection or a sidewalk from Buffalo Wild Wings all the way into, I guess, the next or a store or all the way into the mall?
No.
Without crossing streets or sidewalks?
Well, you know, park?
I mean, I guess is there unmarked, like without crosswalks or sidewalks, if someone wanted to walk from the mall to there, are you having to go across streets that don't have crosswalks and that type of thing?
Okay, so it's kind of a technicality, but from the new restaurant to Seafood City, which would be the nearest entrance into the mall, there's no public street. The mall has their internal drive aisles. And there is a crossing from the Buffalo Wild Wings, crossing that internal drive aisle that runs east-west from Andover Park West towards South Center Parkway. There is a painted crossing that I'm not sure if it was put in under this project or before that. And then in my recollection, I believe it arrives in the Seafood City parking lot, and I don't think there is a ped path from that crossing to the front of Seafood City.
Okay, so you have to kind of traverse the parking lot at Seafood City before you get to, like, crosswalk, sidewalk kind of stuff?
Yeah, there is no painted or elevated crossings between any of the parking stalls. So you're in the parking area, which doesn't have crossings to get between us.
Yeah. But it's...
I think there is crossings from the drive aisle that's directly in front of the mall at Seafood City. I am actually certain there are crossings from Seafood City running east-west across that main drive aisle that fronts the east side of the mall.
Great, thank you.
One last one. This is Commissioner McLeod. So the rooftop mechanical equipment, it says, is screened behind parapet walls. So I guess as you come down into the mall area from, 154th, I mean, that'll be really visible, but I guess it'll be just like you would see over at Bahama Breeze on the other side of the mall, right? The covering there will just... It is really meant to cover from down at the mall level, not coming down into the mall area down as you do the overpass over the freeway?
Yeah, it's designed to screen from the pedestrian realm, so from a car, from a person that's on that same elevation. Anecdotally, my office overlooks the current Bank of America, and I can see portions of the roof, but not in its entirety. I think Bank of America is probably a little bit taller than this building, so maybe a little bit more visible when this is built from my elevation, which is second floor of 6300 or main level of 6300.
So you'll have a good view of the mechanical equipment.
The trees are growing up now, so in the winter I will.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions or comments from the Planning Commission?
For Stacy, I think Commissioner Maestas brought up a really good point about the pedestrian access, and I know this doesn't really pertain to tonight's plan, but in general, as we're looking at more of these developments, it would be great to see a pedestrian plan in the mall where you have people walking through parking lot and whatnot from these outer spaces to the inner mall. Again, I know that doesn't pertain to this particular plan, but a comment I just wanted to make right now, looking at the future as the developments continue to grow out there.
Would you like to have your comment addressed by the mall development who's here tonight?
If they'd like to, I think it's a really interesting and an important discussion to have. I don't know if they feel like commenting on it tonight, but I'm sure if they'd like to.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. I think, yeah, I don't know if we have any more questions for you at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you give us your name and address first, please?
Wayne Johnson, Seattle, Washington.
Commissioner Chair McLeod, would you swear him in before he gives testimony?
Oh, he didn't do it earlier? Oh, thank you. If you'll raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony that you will be giving this evening?
Yes.
Thank you.
To address the parking situation, I can attest that in the previous development in 2010, there was striping from the parking lot from Seafood City out to the first curb line at what is now going to be Buffalo Wild Wings. There's also a striped aisle that goes through the parking that goes to the west side of what is the old Mervyn's. I think it is in Westfield's best interest to continue that development as these developments continue through. And I know from our standpoint at Westfield, that is a topic of discussion, just like the restaurants on the south side have done. And I think that's the intent. I don't know if there's anything in place today to address that, especially with the upcoming developments. But I know we have talked about it and discussed it with regards to Buffalo Wild Wings. So there is painted sidewalks from Buffalo Wild Wings all to the east side of Seafood City that goes through the parking. So it's designated already, and there is a partial lane on the west side of what is now Seafood City that takes you out to Buffalo Wild Wings. So does that answer your question?
Would you say that as the future development is planned, that the pedestrian walkways will be an important feature to work on between the satellite buildings and the mall?
I think that is something that needs more discussion beyond today, to be honest, with our development team that is not actually here today. We're with Westfield, but I think the development team wants to enhance that property so that way the north side becomes more like the south side. And in that, in addressing that, that's going to be part of that pedestrian walkway to and from all those out parcels. So that is a concern, because that will only enlighten the development on that north side.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know that we have had conversations with our development team regarding that. I don't know where the state and where that has progressed to date.
Great.
To be honest. So
it'd be good to hear more about that as that progresses.
Okay.
Yeah, to see a strategic pedestrian plan out there, so secure walkways between the different buildings.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
If I could just add, I know unlike today, Seattle has so many dark and wet days, and it makes it a little harder walking out there in parking lots. And I know on days like that when I find myself in the mall while my wife is shopping, I'm definitely going to want to try and make my way over to the Buffalo Wild Wings as safely as possible.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So if there's no further comments or questions, I think I would at this time close the public hearing on L13-018. And any comments amongst the commissioners? Let's start with Commissioner Mann. Is your mic on?
I move that we move L13-018 onto the council with the conditions recommended by staff.
This is Commissioner Alford. This won't be going to council, will it?
No, you're the deciding body tonight.
Oh, okay. So let's go around and see if there's any comments or discussion we want to have with ourselves first. Commissioner Hunter, you have any? Commissioner Schrander? Commissioner Maestas?
No.
Commissioner Alford?
No, I think it looks good. I think staff's recommendations look good. I'm confident that if the fascicula flora doesn't make it, that it'll be replaced. Although I'm really going to be rooting for it. I love that plant. I think it was a good choice. So, no.
I share that opinion as well, so I am open for a motion at this time.
I move that we approve staff's recommendations. Excuse me, let me find them real quick. To the following conditions of the trellis and planters being included on the south and east sides to be added to the site development plans and reviewed for approval. And the conditions of approval that will be added to the future building permit as listed in the staff report. So I move that we approve the plan with staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Commissioner Mann had seconded it. All right, it's been motioned and seconded, so all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. That's all that's been accepted. We will take a short break, but for our next one, we will take 4 minutes and 20 seconds.